Blog Talk Radio.
Horizon Talk Radio.
Online from the Highlands of Scotland.
We are voices from around the world. Show.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. GMT and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Horizon Talk Radio are looking for guests and hosts. For further information, email horizontalkradio@outlook.com.
Yeah, a very warm welcome. If you've heard anything in tonight's little edition that you're interested in, email Andy, and that's at horizontalkradio@outlook.com. Horizontalkradio@outlook.com. You might want to suggest something different. You might want to add to this. You might want to agree, disagree. We really love your feedback, because that's horizontalkradio@outlook.com. Want to join the show in the future to talk about common law in the UK or the US, around the world, again, you can just email horizontalkradio@outlook.com. So this is from a gentleman. He doesn't want to give his name, so we'll call him John anyway, for now. It's not his real name. But he talks about the importance of using our common law in these troubled times to protect yourself, which will help us get back our freedoms which have been taken away. John knows of other more prominent common law advocates who try to promote the use of common law and their courts, but fail in their efforts. John speaks after he personally has used the common law to stop prosecutions by the corrupt established for himself and for others. Wait, I'll just start my talk with something that some may find boring, but bear with me because you might see a light switch on in your brain, which explains your thoughts and feelings that you previously instinctively knew was right, but you could not put these thoughts into words so that you could now rationalize your thoughts and explain your thoughts to others. Man is different to most other species, in that he has a choice when deciding an action he wishes to take, to know what is right and what is wrong. I'll modify that statement by adding the word action that affects others. This inbuilt knowledge goes back a very long way. Long before the time of King Alfred, who wrote down his thoughts, and because he had the power, it became the law of the land. From then on, Alfred's law was modified and improved on by various powerful people. A lot of Magna Carta included Alfred's law. As time went on, these laws were respected or challenged by various people. Judges met and discussed the various circumstances before them and made decisions, which from then on became law, our common law. What was controlling these judges was the same ingrained thoughts that are in each man's brain. Is what I decide right and fair? So their decisions stand as law forevermore and are known as stated cases. You probably know of court cases which could have become long legal arguments where they are shortened by quoting stated cases that a court must follow. They can only be challenged if a peculiar set of circumstances arise, which tend to show that the stated case, if applied in that particular case, would not be right and just. I do not wish to dwell on these cases. What I wish to place before you is the stated cases that have not been changed for hundreds of years. These are so right that they have stood the test of time. Hat is stood the test of time until recently. Stood the test of time until recently. What has changed then? Well, I'm afraid that if you are an example of the majority of those living today, it is you that have changed. You've watched without taking action. You established passing laws or watched the courts ignoring laws which protect your freedoms and that of your fellow men. I liken your inaction to the herds of wildebeests on the African plains. When they are being stalked by lions, the herd is restless and unsettled and cannot graze peacefully. Then one of their number is taken by the lions, probably a weaker member. What happens then is mirrored by our present society. The wildebeests go back to their grazing as if nothing happened. So people do see injustices, but excuse their inaction by making excuses to ease their consciences. Do you feel aggrieved by my accusation? Do you think it's unfair? Perhaps when I explain myself further, you'll look into yourself and consider what you can do. Firstly, I'll give you an example of the evil society in which you live, whose part of the establishment is controlled by the knowledge of its members committing child abuse. I prefer to change the word controlled to blackmailed. The proof of this is hidden crime, and it's recorded in your own parliament's records, where a senior metropolitan police officer stated that child abuse in the establishment is institutionalised. Perhaps you do not know of that. What you all know of it is the huge amount of child abuse that was covered up in Rotherham, Rochdale, Telford, etc. In my opinion, that it was covered up because if it was investigated properly, many senior established figures would be exposed, and I believe the establishment would fall apart. You might sensibly think, well, what can I do about that? I thought the same. I realised that standing up and protesting has no effect. What I came to realise that I, as a little man, could do little things to put right some small wrong or injustice. I'll give you an example where I used the common law to stop the state imprisoning a friend of mine. I'm not advocating that you follow my example, because I have found an easier and better way. I'm giving you the example to show the power of the little man over the establishment. My friend called me to say that there was a bailiff outside his door with a warrant for his arrest. So I went to his house, and the bailiff showed me a warrant purporting to come from a court. The warrant was fraudulent because although it did come from a court, the processing it authorised was against our common law. That is a side issue. What I did should show you the power that a simple man has over the mighty state. I went to my friend's house and phoned 999. I did that knowing that all 999 calls are recorded. I stated that there was a bailiff outside my friend's house, threatening to break into the house to execute a warrant for his arrest. I asked for the police to attend because what the bailiff was proposing was against our common law. Actually, this common law is reinforced by a statute, the Criminal Law Act of 1977, Section 6, but at present is another side issue. The police refused to attend, but that did not matter. My statement of the law to the police was recorded so that they could not later state that they assisted the bailiff not fully understanding the law. The bailiff then called the police himself, and the police did attend. I got my friend to immediately send in a legal notice by email to the chief constable. This point I emphasise because there is a huge power available to you by serving legal notices. Note that emails are accepted now as better than recorded delivery. Legal notice contained the law which stops anyone using force to enter occupied property. Note here and get it into your brain that no one, not even the King of England, has the right to enter your occupied property without your consent. I quote here the word and the words used by William Pitt, the elder, when he was Prime Minister. The poor orphan man may in his cottage bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it, the storm may enter, the rain may enter, but the King of England cannot enter. There are many stated cases reinforcing this principle, but answer me honestly. What are your immediate thoughts regarding this law? I suspect that some will know of the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, which gives the police powers to use force to enter property. Some of you will know of courts that imprison people arrested from their homes and imprisoned not paying the council tax. Be honest, you've accepted that the police have the power to break into your property. Of course they do, because you consent. You've been mind-programmed from your school days and onward by the media and your elders and betters to believe that the state is all-powerful. I've proved that you as a little man have more power than them if you know how to use it. I'll go back to my example. The bailiff asked the police to attend, which they did. We talked to the police, explained the legal notice served on the chief constable containing the law, which at first delayed their proposed action and then stopped their proposed action. They left after 4 hours, promising that they will be back. They never returned. My friend, fearing that he could be arrested when outside his home, used the subject access request law to see if the warrant was still outstanding. The police would not give a straight answer. It was not until about 2 years later when my friend rang the court that a friendly secretary told him that the warrant had been withdrawn. I learned a lot from that. My friend had suffered much stress from these events because he had not done what I advised him to do previously. I advised him to do as I do each year on receipt of my council tax demand. I serve a legal notice on the chief executive officer of the council requiring certain details which I have a right to know before any charge against me can be enforced using the courts. Note that the council is a company which needs by their law a chief executive officer. Of course, I've received many threatening letters in response from the council and bailiffs, but the bottom line is that I eventually received a final letter from the bailiffs threatening me that if I do not pay the tax and their charges, they will return the bill back to the council as unenforceable. Many years have passed. Am I leading a charmed life? When I read in my local media that a man has been in prison because he has not paid his council tax, oh dear. The establishment often quotes that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Quite right, but that ignorance should demand that any living man should and could stop such unlawful imprisonment by quoting common law, statute law, and even the EU law, which states quite clearly, no one shall be imprisoned for debt. I hope by now I have grabbed your attention, because these same laws could give you back your freedom. Let me ask you a question. During this last year, have you been constrained in your actions by the government's directives regarding the COVID disease? Perhaps you feel further aggrieved because their so-called laws are based on purposely generated false figures. Most notably, the number of people who have died from natural causes whose deaths are classed as COVID deaths, which allow the state to bring in these laws, which most perhaps you obey without question. Okay, you might moan a bit or even join others on the streets in protest, but nothing changes. Nothing changes except your oppressors. Your government brings in more laws to stop you even protesting. I feel so aggravated and aggrieved because, in effect, the lack of action by accepting the loss of their freedoms makes it easier for the police to ignore my standing up for my freedoms. If you think that my criticism applies to you and don't like my accusatory tone, then before you object, research this. Google Supreme Court, Jallo, J-A-L-L-O-H. I'll spell the man's name, J-A-L-L-O-H. You'll find that it took an illegal immigrant, yes, an illegal foreign immigrant, to show you how to use our common law. As a condition of his bail, he agreed to wear a tag and stayed in his home. Each night he knew this was wrong and took his case against the police all the way to the Supreme Court, where just last year on February the 12th, they declared ordering someone to stay in the home is unlawful imprisonment. You would have thought that the British people required to isolate themselves in their homes would be shouting this announcement by the Supreme Court from the rooftops. How wrong I was. I see around me many people so subservient to the unlawful Parliament rules that they stay as prisoners in their own homes. They wear masks, which I see as a flag of submission, that many experts say cause harm to the wearers. You, so may ask, well, what would you do if the police ordered you to wear a mask or go home or demand your name and address, which they have no right to do? The recent state case of Neil versus Director of Public Prosecutions confirmed that you do not have to give your name and address to a police officer. Well, you might be surprised to know that would object to the police harassment, but only to a point. I would stand my ground up to and until I was threatened with arrest. If you are a little man, then there are better ways of standing up for your rights. than getting yourself arrested. Of course, if you seek publicity and are famous, you can be like Jeremy Corbyn and get yourself arrested and use the ensuing publicity of a court case to your advantage. So accept that the police use their bullying power. Bear in mind that they are also as mind programmed as the majority of the public are. They are purposely not taught about our freedoms guaranteed by our common law. So I do give my name and address and accept their fixed penalty or being reported for the summons. This is where my fight back starts. In the case of a fixed penalty, I serve a legal notice on the chief constable of the force, issuing the fixed penalty. If I receive a summons, I serve a sworn affidavit on the court issuing the summons. This is how you fight back. I would say that this is why you should fight back. I'm old enough to know of families disrupted because of their fathers, husbands died defending our freedoms. I ask you, should we not honour them by doing all in our power to defend those freedoms for the next generation? Some receipt of a fixed penalty, sending a legal notice by email to the chief constable. Emails are better in law than recorded delivery. The email should contain the common law and allow you to do what the police say is an offence. And if you receive a summons, you should swear out an affidavit containing the common law together with any stated cases that confirm the law. You should know and learn that an affidavit, if it is not rebutted by those upon whom it is served, becomes unchallengeable law. They cannot rebut what is established law. It is almost certain that they withdraw the charge. You might choose not to attend their court when the Crown Prosecution asks permission to withdraw the charge. If you are aggrieved or brave, you might go into their courts and seek compensation. They will at the very least pay your travelling expenses and loss of wages for attending court. Now, you can actually get more information on this, examples of the affidavits, by going to horizontalkradio.co.uk, and if you look in the news blog, we have a headline called The Importance of Using Our Common Law. So it's importance of using our common law in these troubled times. As example affidavits, statements, etc. that I've just spoke about. Any more information you need, just email horizontalkradio@outlook.com. That's horizontalkradio@outlook.com. Many thanks. Have a wonderful day and don't let them beat you. Stick up for your freedoms. It's your right.